colleague of mine, another pastor that I know, posted a rant on social media this week. It seems some months ago, a young family from his community had come to his church. They had attended worship services. They had spoke with the pastor. They were having some struggles. They were going through a really rough time, and the pastor was able to gather up some help and some support from them with the church. And the church prayed with them and provided some financial resources to get them through this difficult time. The family came to church for a while. They hadn't been to church in the last couple weeks, so the pastor called on them this last week to see how they were doing, if everything was okay. And they told him it was, that they had started attending a different church. They said they appreciated all his church had done, but this other church had a big children's program. It had a band during worship that the kids really liked, and the family was going there every Sunday now. The pastor got on social media and was angry. That's never a good combination. You know, a dear friend of mine, you met him a couple weeks ago. He was here in church with us. Rex is in town with business for the next couple weeks. He and I were college roommates. We went out to dinner one night, and we were talking about some stuff, and he said, how come all that stupid stuff we did, how come people don't know about that? How come we all got away with all of it? And I said, we didn't have phones to record it. I said, if we had, trust me, one of us would have done a little bit of time before now. I said, but we didn't. I said, there was no record of it. I said, we did stupid stuff, and it just disappeared. But now you got to be careful. You can put stuff out there forever. And ranting on social media is absolutely the wrong thing to do. Getting on social media mad is just going to cause problems. But this pastor was mad, and he got on his Facebook account, and he ranted and raved about what lesson were they teaching their kids about gratitude and about compassion, where you leave a place that was kind to you and go somewhere else just for the latest fad or gimmick. And he ranted about how people always want the church to help them when they're in trouble, but when things are good, they leave. And he ranted about loyalty, and where was the loyalty from this family for what the church had done for them? Several people responded to his post. I assume some of them perhaps were members of his church. And they all told him how right he was. How dare these people abandon his church after all his church had done for them. They went on, of course, about this generation and how unloyal they are, how ungrateful they are, how fickle they are. And it all just made me really sad. Nobody seemed to take notice of the fact that this young family was going to church. Not just to worship, but they'd found a church where there were programs their children wanted to be involved in. And they were walking their spiritual journey there. No one pointed this out. They just railed on this family for not staying at the other church. Our scripture tells us this morning, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. When I first came up here this morning, I was talking to Jan. I was telling her I'm a little bit ginger this morning. I've been doing some work at my house, tearing out some walls, pulling up some floors. We're trying to get new floors put in, so I spent a lot of time bent over. So my hamstrings are a little hurting this morning. What we're doing is we're expanding. We have a dining room, an entry, and a living room. We're knocking walls out so it'll all be one big room. But before I could do that, I had to have a couple friends of mine who are professionals in the construction business come in and look at the job for me and make sure it was okay for me to remove what I was going to remove. Right? I didn't want to knock out a load-bearing wall. Because I can get kind of excited when I'm doing deconstruction. I'm horrible at building things. Absolutely horrible. But I can tear stuff up like nobody's business, right? If you give me a sledgehammer, I'm knocking something down with it. It's going to come down. But I wanted to make sure I didn't do something disastrously to my house, something that was just horrible that was going to affect the foundation of my house, right? You take out a load-bearing wall, and all of a sudden the whole house becomes unsteady. It becomes weaker. It becomes damaged. So I had to have them come in and point out to me, you can take this out, you shouldn't take this out, you should do this, you should do that. That's how foundations work. They provide the stable strength on which buildings are built. If you mess up the foundation, the whole structure is compromised and shaky and in danger. And that applies to our faith as well. Our faith, the faith that you and I celebrate this morning, that we bring out with us as we come to worship God, that faith was built on a foundation of words and deeds and examples that impacted and affected us way before we knew God, way before we understood that we wanted to follow God. A foundation that we built based on the examples that we saw of what it meant to be a disciple, what it meant to be a Christian. Perhaps somebody that helped lay your faith foundation was a family member. For me, it was my mother. There was a good part of my life growing up where my dad didn't go to church. And my siblings and I didn't go to church. But my mom always went to church. Now, she was usually the church organist, so that helped quite a bit. But she wanted to be there. She wanted to be in church. And I can remember when I was little, she would take me and I would sit behind the organ. I would listen to her play and I would hear the sermons and I would sing the songs and pray the prayers. And way before I ever understood what it was to follow God, I was there because my mother was there. And that quiet faith that she had eventually led my father back to the church as well, and my siblings back to the church. And my siblings go to church today and are members of their church and leaders in their church because my mother always went. It was her quiet commitment to church, to being a part of that body of Christ, that laid part of my foundation for why I go to church. Maybe it was someone else. Maybe it was a friend that you knew, someone who was an elder, who was wise, who was respected, somebody you looked up to, who impacted you and drew you closer to God. In the church we went to when I was in junior high and high school, there was a woman named Louise. Louise was an elder of the church. She was a leader in the church. In her 70s, Louise flew to Haiti to help build a church there because she believed that was important. Louise was that person that always had a smile on her face. I can remember the church I grew up in going through chaos and turmoil, but Louise was this steady rock that everybody held on to, it seemed. She was this pillar of faith, this person standing in our midst who lived their faith every day in the words that she said and the walk that she followed. I can remember the impact she had on me. She showed me how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, maybe it was someone else. Maybe it was a stranger. Maybe it was someone that you bumped into for just a moment who showed you faith when there was no return in it for them. They were just kind or supportive or welcoming or peaceful. And somehow, some way, they ended up in your path at just the right time, just the right moment. And then they were gone. A face without a name, simply an angel when you needed one. These people that were there on your journey impacted your faith. They added stones to your foundation, sturdy, strong stones of faith to build upon. They didn't complete the structure. They didn't build the temple completely. They simply laid the pieces on which the rest would be built. How important, how vital, how necessary was their contribution to your faith? To answer that, simply think of how many people you know who want nothing to do with church, nothing to do with God, nothing to do with faith, because along the way, someone added a weak stone to their foundation. Somebody added a brittle stone. Somebody added a hateful stone to their foundation, and a good structure could not be built on top of it. People hurt by church, wounded by church, shamed by church, people who were seeking God and faith and hope and instead found pain and rejection and sourness. I have often said faith is not about a finish line. Faith is about a journey. Especially, I think, in the American church, we have become far, far too interested in the finish line, in being the end goal and not simply being a mile marker on someone's faith journey. But in reality, most of the time, that's what we are. In reality, we are mile markers, simple waypoints on a journey where for a few moments in someone's life, we can be the presence of the living Christ. We can be the presence of grace and hope and joy and love and forgiveness. And in doing so, we help that person to walk just a little closer with God, to come just a little closer to Jesus, to dwell just a little closer in the Holy Spirit. We lay a brick on their foundation in that brief second, and we make a difference in their lives. We may not see where it leads. We may not see what structure is finally built. We may not see the end results, but we have the opportunity to guide that journey by laying a good stone today on the foundation. What stone is that going to be? I responded to my friend on social media. I told him, I said, you know, I think you're missing the point. You and your church touched this family. You impacted them. You drew them closer to God. And because of that, they're going to church. Not only are they going to church, they're sending the kid to programs where they're going to learn about God and draw closer to God. I tried to tell him, man, this was a win. But he couldn't see that. He couldn't see it because his pews weren't full and his coffers were empty. So to him, it was a loss. How sad is that? There's an old story when they were building the great cathedral in London. A man came around to look at the building one day and was watching the workers as they built different pieces. He walked up to one guy, a mason who was building a wall. He said, "What are you doing there?" The mason said, I'm building a wall. He walked around a little bit further. He saw another guy who was working on an archway above a door. And he said, "What are you building there?" The guy said, "I'm building the archway for the entrance on this side of the building." He went a little further and he found a guy who was working on the wall of the sanctuary. He said, What are you building there?" The man said, "We're building a grand cathedral to the one true God, that his name would be praised and exalted in it." It's all about perspective. What are you building? Are you working to build the kingdom of God? A kingdom full of different experiences and different journeys of faith? Or are you only concerned about the local branch office? We are called as disciples to be kingdom builders, to build the kingdom of God, and we do that through the words that we use every day, the actions that we take, the priorities that we have, the faith that we live. You have the opportunity today to be a stonemason in God's service, to go out and place a stone on someone's foundation, a stone that they will build their faith upon.